Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for September the 4th, 2017. This is David Corey, along with my co-host, Richard Hurley. Thank you for joining us this evening. Hello, Richard.
Hey, David. How are you? And hello, everyone out there in our listener world. We want to welcome everyone to our show tonight. First, we would like to thank the sponsors of tonight's show, the American Legion Post 303 of Bonita Springs, Florida, Mr. Charles M. Newman of Florida, and, of course, Corey and Hurley Law Group, which represents veterans and disability cases and military personnel action. I want to remind everyone that this is a call-in show that welcomes your views, comments, and questions. So you can call us at any time during the show at 1-888-627-6008. Again, the toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. Back to you, David.
Thank you, Richard. On our agenda tonight, we have lots of news of interest to veterans and their families. We are also going to tell you about some exciting guests we are going to have on our show in the next couple months. Stay tuned for that later in tonight's show when we tell you what is in store in the very near future. But first, before that, we have a guest tonight that I'm pleased to present. In some of our prior shows, we have had military veterans who talked about their military service as well as their post-military life. Tonight, we will continue that tradition with our special guest, Alex K. Sebi. Alex is a veteran of the United States Marine Corps. He is also the founder and owner of an innovative invoice and time management system company. We have invited Alex on the show tonight as an example of a veteran who has taken the initiative to put an excellent idea into action with real and practical business application. We hope it will serve as an inspiration to others who may have ideas but are wondering what to do next. So without further ado, let me welcome to the Veterans News Hour tonight our guest, Alex Sebi. Welcome, Alex. How are you tonight?
Hi, David. Hi, Richard. Thank you for having me on.
How are you, Alex? Pleasure.
Excellent. Yeah, this is exciting. It's really nice to be online.
Well, thanks. We have a lot to talk about. So let's start with this. Alex, how old were you when you joined the Marine Corps?
So I actually joined when I was 17, but I did turn 18 in boot camp, which anyone else that turned 18 in boot camp was quite a fun experience. But before that, I was actually in the delayed entry program during my high school year. And even before that, my first experience with the United States Marine Corps was when I was a freshman in high school, when I was 14, after getting into a fight at my high school, I was recommended to go to Devil Pups. Devil Pups is a 10-day United States Marine Corps youth program that is hosted at Camp Pendleton, California.
Hey, Alex, what job did you have when you were in the U.S. Marine Corps?
So when I was in the Marines, I was a 4611, or a combat artist. Might not have heard of them before. They're probably the smallest occupation in the Marine Corps. Today, they're more commonly referred to as illustrators. Prior to World War II, combat artists were in the field during conflicts and made paintings and other artworks that gave indication of human emotion during conflict. If you ever go to a federal museum, those paintings, you are likely to see them in some of those federal museums.
I see. And Alex, I understand that you served in the Marines from 1999 to 2003. Is that right?
That's correct, sir, yes.
And did you see action in Iraq or Afghanistan during that time?
No, I was never deployed. I was part of the build-up to Iraq, and I was in the Marine Corps stationed in Yuma, Arizona, on September 11, 2001, when the World Trade Centers were attacked.
So, Alex, you never saw combat. Do you have any regrets about that?
Yes and no. I was sad not to support my friends that went. But at the time, I was very focused on school. I had really good grades. And I was also accepted into a very good Bachelor's of Digital Media program. I ended up selling it. I got honors, and I also went on to get a master's in journalism. So I think I spent my time very wisely, where I might not have been able to do it if I would have been in Iraq.
I see. And Alex, what are you currently doing now? I know you have a lot on your plate.
So currently I work at Joint Base Lewis-McChord, so I'm actually working for the Army. And I work as a multimedia specialist. But as of last month, I've actually been given a promotion and reassigned to a VA hospital in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, as a communication specialist, coordinating the My Healthy Vet program. I also continue to work on my limited liability company, TPIGS, or the Time Project Invoice Graph System.
Well, I know that company, that private company of yours, is something that I know you really want to discuss tonight on the show, and it's really really important thing we'd like to focus on. So if you would please tell us more about that company.
So TPIGS, or the Time Project Invoice Graph System, is a 100% veteran-owned invoice management system right here in the USA. Easy and effective way to organize your work schedule, track work time, and invoice. It also makes personal accounting here in the United States mobile, simple, and inexpensive. TPIGS can save an hour per day, 5 hours per week, or 20 hours per month of financial management. If to download, please visit Google Play, as the TPIGS, or Time Project Invoice Graph System, is only currently available for Android.
Sounds like you're a busy guy there, Alex. I hear you are currently competing for a $25,000 veteran business grant. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir, yes. I was referred to by the Wounded Warrior Program to an Our Farm Salutes $25,000 business grant for veterans. Our Farm Salutes is one of the largest food producers in the United States. And as I understand, well, I'll find out later this month who wins, but the winners are flown to New York, and they actually meet Damon John from Shark Tank.
Oh, that sounds very exciting. Are there any current business-related challenges that you are trying to overcome?
So winning the grant would allow me to accelerate my marketing and advertising schedule for TPIGS. It would also allow me to initiate an Apple iOS app as soon as possible, which would give me access to about 53% more people using mobile phones here in the United States. It's also become apparent that TPIGS, really there's actually a need for it in the Apple iOS store. Many of the people that I've contacted have asked specifically for an Apple version of it. And that's essentially what the grant would allow me to do.
How do you see your business growing in the future?
You know, I actually had quite a successful marketing campaign here recently, but my first goal is to obtain 5,000 users of the Time Project Invoice Graph System. And then after that, 10,000 users per year, until eventually 100,000 users a year, which would essentially create $1 million in gross.
Well, that's great, Alex. It sounds like you've really got a business plan for success there. Where can listeners get more information about the services of your company, which I understand includes consulting services? Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. So for more information, please visit my website, tpigs.net. There's also a consultation tab on the website that, if selected, allows you to schedule a 15-minute free consultation with me. So anyone here in the United States that's looking for a way to improve their online business presence, I'm happy to help. And lastly, furthermore, I'm also going to be headed to South Dakota here fairly shortly. So if anyone's headed to Sturgis next year, that's something I'm also going to be promoting it.
Well, that's super, Alex, and we certainly wish the best of success to you and your work and your company. And please keep us posted, and we'd like to have you back on the show sometime in the future to let us know how things are going and to help you promote your business. So best of success, and thanks for being on our show tonight, Alex.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Take
Alex,
care.
And have a good evening.
Good luck.
Well, Richard, that was interesting. It sounds like Alex has a very practical business idea, and he has the technical skills to back it up. I hope he goes far with it. I think it's a good example to veterans about what they can do when they leave military service. Now, I know we have some more guests lined up for some of our other shows over the next couple months. Can you start off by telling us more about that lineup, Richard?
Yeah, I'm very happy to, and very excited about the next 4 to 6 weeks. Next week, September 11th, our guest, hopefully, will be Dr. David Maulsby of the PTSD Foundation of America and Camp Hope, a PTSD treatment center for veterans. Camp Hope provides interim housing for our wounded warriors, veterans, and their families suffering from combat-related PTSD in a caring and positive environment. It is noteworthy that Camp Hope is located in Houston, Texas. And due to the hurricane flooding in Houston this past week, it is possible that Mr. Maltby may not be able to be on our show next week. We hope to confirm that one way or the other in a few days from now. Meanwhile, check out the website for PTSD Foundation of America at PTSDUSA.org. Again, their website is PTSDUSA.org. David, I wish to also remind you and our viewers, I'm not sure if you've been following it, but Hurricane Irma is on its way to Florida, apparently, and they're talking about it probably, if it hits us, it could be September the 11th as well. So
let's hope and pray it gets blown back into the Atlantic Ocean and doesn't even get to the east coast of Florida. We've had our share over many years in Florida of hurricanes, so we know what it's like. But thanks for the scoop for next week's show. Hopefully, David Maltby will be able to be on our show. I'd like to say that in 3 weeks from now, on our September 25th show, our special guests will be two of the directors of the Costs of War Project based at Brown University. Our guests will be Professor Catherine Lutz of Brown University and Professor Nettie Crawford of Boston University. The Cost of War Project is actually a team of 35 scholars, legal experts, human rights practitioners, and physicians, which began its work in 2011. The project conducts research and provides a public website, which is costsofwar.org, to promote a greater understanding and discussion about the costs of post-9/11 wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and the related violence in Pakistan and Syria. Now, there are many hidden or unacknowledged costs of the United States' decision to respond to the 9/11 attacks with military force. The Costs of War Project aims to foster discussion of these wars by providing the fullest possible account of their human, economic, and political costs, and to foster better informed public policies. So on our September 25th, 2017 show, Professors Lutz and Crawford will be our special guests to tell us more about the Costs of War Project and all its work. It should be a very insightful and informative show, so mark your calendars for September 25th, BBS Radio Station 1 at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Back to you, Richard.
We are in the process of lining up also a special guest for the first two Mondays in October. However, we can definitely confirm that our guest on Monday, October 16th, will be one of the preeminent veterans law attorneys and veterans advocates in the country, John B. Wells. John is the executive director of a nonprofit organization called Military Veterans Advocacy. He will be on our October 16th show to discuss up-to-date news from Washington, D.C., since he will be spending parts of the next month in Washington lobbying members of Congress and meeting with VA officials to discuss veterans issues. That should be an excellent show, and looking forward to that. How about you, David? What else is coming up?
Well, jumping ahead to the end of October, which will be here before we know it, I urge listeners to mark your calendar for Monday, October 30th. Our special guest that evening will be internationally acclaimed and award-winning filmmaker Rick Burns, who will talk about his soon-to-be-released documentary entitled VA, The Human Costs of War. That film is due to be released in early November on PBS. So stay tuned for the specific date on PBS very soon. Many of you no doubt already are familiar with Rick Burns' career, but let me provide a quick summary. Rick is perhaps best known for his 8-part, 17.5-hour series called New York, a documentary film, which premiered nationally on PBS to wide public and critical acclaim when broadcast in November 1999, and then September 2001 and September 2003. Rick Burns has been writing, directing, and producing historical documentaries for over 25 years, since his collaboration on the PBS series The Civil War in 1990, which he produced with his brother Ken Burns and co-wrote with Jeffrey C. Ward. Since founding Steeplechase Films in 1989, Rick Burns has directed some of the most distinguished programs for PBS, including such films as Coney Island, The Donner Party, The Way West, Ansel Adams, Eugene O'Neill, Andy Warhol, We Shall Remain, or Tecumseh's Vision, and Into the Deep, America, Wailing, and the World. And then his 2012 film, Death in the Civil War, a film based on the best-selling book, This Republic of Suffering, Death and the American Civil War, by historian and Harvard professor Drew Gilbert Foss. So this film on, the upcoming film on the VA, is really a continuation of a theme of several of Rick Burns' films, which is basically addressing the question, you know, what is the meaning, what are the implications of war? Back to you, Rick.
Yeah, the upcoming Rick Burns documentary on the Department of Veteran Affairs explores the history of the department from the troubled beginnings of the Veterans Bureau of the 1920s to the modern VA system. The film chronicles the workings of this crucial but often beleaguered American institution, exploring what it does and how it functions, its vast size and critical importance, its history and origin, how and why it came into existence, how and why it has changed over time, how it has come to be broken in critical ways in recent generations, and how it may be reformed going forward. It's certainly an important and timely subject, as we have already seen this year quite a bit of legislation produced by Congress to change and allegedly reform the VA. Those making appearances in the film include Robert McDonald, former Secretary of the Department of Veteran Affairs, Dr. David Shulkin, who is currently serving Secretary of the Department of Veteran Affairs, as well as several current and former members of Congress, in addition to numerous veterans and advocates, veterans and family members of veterans. It should be an outstanding film, so mark your calendar for Monday, October 30th, when Rick Burns will be our show to discuss it.
Yes, thanks. Thanks, Richard. And speaking of documentary films, which may be of interest to veterans, we are also making arrangements to interview the producer and director of another important film of special interest to Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans. This film deals with the important issue of open burn pits commonly used in those wars, and which now are suspected of causing large numbers of veterans to suffer very serious health problems due to the numerous toxic substances which were incinerated in those huge burn pits. The film's title is Delay, Deny, Hope You Die, How America Poisoned Its Soldiers. The producer and director of the film is Mr. Gregory Lovett. Mr. Lovett is an American, but he currently lives in Holland. So due to the time zone difference, we will be pre-recording his interview, hopefully later this week, probably this Wednesday, for a future airing on the show, perhaps next week. Meanwhile, to find out more about the film, please check it out on Facebook. Go to Facebook and then type in the search engine, Burn Pit Documentary, and you should find that information about that film. Now, the first premiere showing of the film, the first public showing, is tentatively set for Monday, October the 9th, at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time in Los Angeles. So those of you in the Los Angeles area, you may want to make a note of this. The first public showing of the film will be Monday, October the 9th, 7:30 in Los Angeles at the Rave Baldwin Hills Crenshaw Plaza 15 Theaters, which is located, as some of you in Los Angeles probably know already, at 4020 Marlton Avenue in Los Angeles. Again, the film Delay, Deny, Hope You Die, How America Poisoned Its Soldiers, premiere showing Monday, October the 9th, 7:30 p.m. in Los Angeles at the Rave Baldwin Hills Crenshaw Plaza 15 Theater. So if you're in the Los Angeles area, or even if you're not in the Los Angeles area, but you simply want to buy tickets to donate to any of the literally dozens of veteran groups in L.A., you can order your tickets online at the website tug.com. And let me spell that for you. Grab your pen and paper. You can order your tickets online. The website is tug.com, which is T-U-G-G.com. And under the Films tab on the website, look for the film Delay, Deny, Hope You Die. Tickets are only $11 each. Again, the website for ordering tickets is tug.com. Look under the film tags on that website for the film Delay, Deny, Hope You Die. The first showing October the 9th. Back to you, Richard.
You know, David, I interviewed and signed up a new client yesterday who served in Iraq, and he was part of the burn pit issue, and in fact, he was describing to me how he and his other soldiers would start these pits and what went into the pits, and, you know, it went from human waste to gasoline. You know, basically they had to light up everything that they had at their camp and destroy it, and it would just create these huge, massive fires that these soldiers would then have to basically live in. But that documentary should be excellent for our listeners, so that they can understand a little bit more about what the burn pit issue is all about, and it's pretty horrific. Also looking ahead, another guest we have planned on the show will be Vietnam veteran Brian Wizard, who, by the way, is an accomplished writer, artist, and filmmaker. He'll be on our November 6th show to discuss his experiences in Vietnam, his life since the war, and how he has coped with PTSD with writing, art, music, and film. Brian appeared on our show in May, but we'll be back on November the 6th to continue where we left off. So we hope our listeners will be sure to tune in on our shows every Monday night for these and other great guests. On that note, if you have a topic you'd like to hear more about or a particular guest to suggest to us, please let us know. Our contact information, including phone numbers and email addresses, are available on our show's website, which is bbsradio.com/TheVeteransNewsHour. That's bbsradio.com/TheVeteransNewsHour. And if you want to call in live during our weekly shows, our toll-free call number is 1-888-627-6008. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. Okay, back to you, David, for some news updates.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. And I'd like to add, before we get to some of the news, something I just learned today. Rick Burns will be on our show on October 30th. You know, his brother Ken is also an internationally known filmmaker. Well, for the last 10 years, Ken Burns has been working on a lengthy series focusing on the Vietnam War. Well, that series is finished. It begins airing on PBS on September the 17th, so less than 2 weeks away. It's a multi-part series, and it's analyzing the Vietnam War in detail, and part of its purpose is also to with historical hindsight, is to foster a discussion about the war. We all know, even if we weren't old enough to have been in the war, how divisive that war was, and some could say the current divisions in the country have some of their seeds back in the 1960s, not just for the Vietnam War, but partly because of the Vietnam War. So look for that. Look for Ken Burns, his series on the Vietnam War, beginning on September 17th on PBS. And again, as I said earlier, his brother Rick Burns' documentary on the Department of Veterans Affairs and the human cost of war will be, his interview on our show will be October 30th. Now, tied to that, go ahead, Richard.
You know, David, I'm just piggybacking on what you just said there about Vietnam War. You know, in our law practice, representing veterans, I think primarily our number one group of clients are Vietnam veterans. So, you know, it's a shame. Here we are 40-some-odd years later, and Vietnam veterans are still fighting for their VA benefits. As one of our clients said to me, he thought the enemy in Vietnam was bad enough. He never realized that he'd be fighting even harder against his own government to try to recover compensation for everything that he suffered, and you know, the Agent Orange conditions, and so it's pretty horrific to see this and you know, represent these men and women day in and day out, and see what they went through in Vietnam, and the battle scars that they do have, and then to also see that, you know, they're still fighting to try to get that compensation. So, what do you think, David? I mean, you've been doing
well.
This
I think
a lot
it provided it's provided you and I and all those that represent veterans, whether they're veteran service officers or attorneys or other volunteers, it presents us with somewhat of a unique perspective that I think a lot of Americans who aren't veterans or aren't related to a veteran really may not be thinking about, because we deal with this on a daily basis, and that is the long-term effects of war. I mentioned a few minutes ago that our guest on September 25th will be Brown University Professor Catherine Lutz and Boston University Professor Netta Crawford of the Cost of War Project. And they're going to be taking a much wider perspective of the costs of war. You know, we see it day in and day out in our work, you know, the human costs on American veterans. But there are actually multiple other perspectives of the cost of war, and that's what Professors Lutz and Crawford will be talking about on September 25th. I think Ken Burns' series on the Vietnam War on September 17th will renew discussions of some of the issues about Vietnam. Should we have even been in Vietnam? How was the war handled? What were the effects on the participants? And not just American soldiers, but the combatants on all sides, South Vietnamese soldiers, North Vietnamese soldiers, and last but certainly not least, the Vietnamese people, North and South. I mean, Americans too often, in my view, will say, what was the cost of war? Well, America lost 58,000 lives in Vietnam, which actually, depending on how you look at it, is really a vast undercounting, because we see veterans have died well after the war from Agent Orange related diseases and cancers. But Americans tend to look at it as far as you know, just simply America's casualties, without realizing, well, you need to consider, you know, the human impact on, you know, the innocent people, the civilians, whether it's our allies, but even the opposing side, innocent civilians caught up in this war between governments. But then also the economic costs, when people say, well, how much did Vietnam War cost? If they were to calculate all the, you know, the Defense Department expenditures and the defense contractor expenditures, yeah, but look, the government is still paying, you know, countless sums of money for disabled veterans, but also for treatment. And certainly over in Vietnam, the Vietnam government is having to deal with the effects, not just of, you know, the millions of gallons of Agent Orange that were sprayed on their country, which are affecting their population, just as it affects our veterans, but also the fact that, you know, during wartime we dropped, you know, so many millions of tons of bombs in Vietnam, and a certain relatively large percentage didn't explode. So North and South Vietnam is just plagued with unexploded ordnance, which, sad to say, is still killing and maiming innocent civilians to this day. And you can research, there are a number of humanitarian groups that are involved in that effort to clean up Vietnam from all those unexploded ordnance, but also to educate the Vietnamese people, the farmers and others that are out in what had once been areas that were bombed, to know what to look for. So there are many, many consequences and effects and costs of war. So that's what we're going to be examining in upcoming shows. I think it's an important important discussion. And Rick, as you mentioned, you know, we represent a lot of people, a lot of veterans of Vietnam, and we see their perspective, and we see not only their physical disabilities, but we also see, you know, the ongoing psychological damage done. And, you know, for some of these veterans, it's 50 years after they left Vietnam. And some people that aren't familiar with dealing with veterans or familiar with the effect of post-traumatic stress disorder may wonder, how can that be? Well, you have to put this in perspective. These troops were often 18, 19, 20, maybe 21 years old. So imagine if you can yourself, or if you have a son or daughter or grandchild that's now of that age, 18, 19 years old, imagine what it's like to be trained. You know, you, up until that point in your life, you've trained to respect people, take care of people, value life, and now you've been drafted into the military in 1967, trained by your government to be, put it quite bluntly but accurately, a trained killer and sent to another country, sent over there for 12, 13 months, and see all sorts of things or participate in all sorts of things. So that can really knock people off the course of their life psychologically, and some of them, as Richard and I can see in our work, never really recover from that. And Vietnam veterans often came home to a very hostile reception at home, particularly, once the war, a couple years into the war, and it became very unpopular here at home, and Vietnam veterans were certainly not treated in any way as heroes. They were often, spat upon when they arrived at the airports, and they didn't have the support system, that we see for today's veterans. So, any more thoughts on that, Richard?
Well, I just wanted to share one, one of the things that, and as everybody who's been listening to the show knows, I didn't serve in the military. I'm my partner there, David. So I'm always intrigued when I sit and talk to a veteran about their experience. And we have one client that we have been representing for about 4 years now. And great man. He's a Vietnam veteran. He's a Marine. Very proud person. Came home. Was a police officer for a while. So he came to me and asked me to represent him on some issues. He went through there, and then I asked him about whether or not he had any psychological issues as a result of his service in Vietnam, and of course. He sternly looked at me and said, "Oh no, I'm fine." And I made him a cup of coffee, and we sat and we started talking in my office, and I started asking him questions. And I said, "Well, tell me about your first day in Vietnam." Well, he got deployed, and he landed, and then within about an hour, somebody, superior. Came to him and said, youngin' or whatever they call him, get on that chopper. You're going out to a firefight. And he's like, what? Barely got his stuff down into wherever he was going to stay. So he and another young guy got on the chopper and off they went. And the firefight had just ended. And he got off the chopper and there were about 15 to 20 body bags. And they weren't completely sealed up, and he was told that he and the other guy were told they had to pick up those bags and put them on that other chopper to send them back and make sure that all the parts and everything were in the bag. Well, they were all American soldiers, and as he's telling this story, he started weeping. I mean, just bawling in my office, and he starts telling me how he can still see this, as he called him a young man, because at that time our client was 20 and this guy was the guy was 18. And he said, I can still see his face. He said, I've been seeing his face in my dreams since I left Vietnam. I said, that was 40 some odd years ago. He said, I know. And I said, and you don't think you have some issues? My point is that, when we're dealing with PTSD, I know, David, you're going to be talking about some PTSD in a second. I don't think people realize the horrific experience that our fighting men and women go through when they're overseas and they're put in these different situations and how it affects their psyche for the rest of their lives. You know, those of us who were fortunate enough, and that's me, who didn't have to go through that experience, just can't begin to understand it. And when we talk about the suicides that are happening, I think 22 a day, that are happening in this country from our veterans, it's real. That's real stuff. And, you know, just like beating down the VA, you know, we got to beat this down amongst our civilian population here in this country, because, you know, when you see veterans walking around, maybe a handful of them or a lot of them didn't have to go through such experiences, but amongst those groups of people that you're walking around the malls and restaurants are men and women who've seen some pretty horrific stuff. So I just ask our listening audience to keep that in mind when you're out there and you see a veteran and he's got a cap and they're so proud to wear this, especially where I live here in Central Florida. A lot of veterans around me, and they've got their 82nd Airborne cap or their Vietnam veteran cap. These are proud men and women who serve, but they're damaged. And I just ask everybody to keep that in mind, especially this is Suicide Prevention Month, as acknowledged by the VA. So we want to put out that hand to those men and women and say thank you. Back to you, David.
Yep. Thanks. Those are great points, Richard. Now, one of the most painful subjects to discuss, but we're going to tonight, is the subject of suicide, and it affects people from all walks of life. It's an issue of importance to veterans and their families. Richard, as you mentioned, it's often said that an average of 22 veterans take their life every day. And as our regular listeners to this show will recall, our guest on the June 12th show was Mrs. Rebecca Winkler, whose son, Drew Winkler, died by suicide as a result of a five-year battle with post-traumatic stress disorder from his service in Iraq. Now, if you missed that show, the June 12th show, you can listen to it on the archived podcast of it found on our show website, which is bbsradio.com/TheVeteransNewsHour. Now, Rebecca Winkler and her husband started a nonprofit organization called Winkler's Wish Foundation to bring awareness about post-traumatic stress disorder and to provide resource assistance to veterans and their families suffering from and affected by PTSD issues. Now, you can check out the Winkler's Wish Foundation webpage on Facebook by going to Facebook and typing in Winkler's Wish Foundation. Now, it's important to keep the subject of PTSD and veteran suicides in mind year-round because it is a constant and very serious concern. The reason we're highlighting it in tonight's news is because September marks Suicide Prevention Month. According to the VA, it's doing what it can to promote awareness. It had a press release from just a few days ago on September the 1st, and the message in that press release from the VA during Suicide Prevention Month is simple and can be summed up in two words: be there. Be there for the veterans. Be there for their families. So we know that according to Dr. David Shulkin, the current VA secretary, he said, and I quote, "We know that in 2014, an average of 20 veterans a day died in this country from suicide, which is 20 too many. As Dr. Shulkin said, this is a national public health crisis requiring a national public health approach. When it comes to preventing veteran suicide, the VA can't and should not do it alone." Richard.
You know, David, as part of the awareness, you'll see on Facebook a lot of veterans challenging each other to, if they say it's 22 suicides a day, doing 22 push-ups a day. And I was challenged by one of our clients, Michael Thorin, and I'm happy to say that after day four, I'm still doing my 22, David. So I have, 27 more days to go. For Suicide Prevention Month, the VA has a number of outreach events planned to raise awareness. Among some of the events planned is a number of declaration signings will be held throughout the month with the entire VA healthcare system, the Department of Defense, veteran service organizations, and with other partners around the country that show a commitment of solidarity to prevent veteran suicide. Each VA facility will also be asked to commit to be there, ensuring veterans get the mental health support they need for a no wrong door philosophy. In other words, don't let the bureaucracy impede a veteran getting the help he or she needs. Boy, okay. The VA declaration promises to adopt a no wrong door philosophy for suicide prevention, so every VA employee will assist veterans in need, to work with community veteran engagement boards or other community partners in suicide prevention efforts, to establish a buddy system so veterans can reach out to someone when needed, to establish open access in VA mental health clinics and same-day access in VA community-based mental health clinics within 6 months to ensure prompt attention to the needs of our veterans, to work across clinical specialties to ensure veterans receive integrated specialty pain management and sleep services as needed, to ensure all staff and employees receive clinical suicide prevention training, to arrange appointments for veterans seeking care through enhanced enrollment procedures, and to increase the number of veterans and providers connecting through our telemental health services. I hope, for the sake of our veterans, that the VA sticks to this program. I can't help but feel somehow that I think we're going to miss the boat again. It just seems to happen all the time. All I got to do is listen to my veterans when they come to me and they tell me the deplorable situation down at the VA, dealing with the mental health issue. As most of them say to me, all they want to do is throw drugs at you. They don't really want to get into helping them. They just say, here, just take more medication and you'll be fine. So we'll see, David, but I'm a little jaded. But anyway, back to you.
Well, I think part of the obstacle the VA faces, and this is also true in the civilian or private sector, is a shortage of healthcare providers, including psychologists and psychiatrists, counselors, and others in the healthcare field. And as we've mentioned in prior shows, the VA is understaffed in the order of about 40,000 personnel, and the vast majority of that 40,000 are healthcare providers, and at least several thousand of those are shortages of psychologists and psychiatrists. So there's kind of the practical limitation of not having enough people to help the veterans. And you know, I noticed from the declarations that the VA has mentioned in their press release that you were reading is that part of it is to work more with communities, get community partners. And I know Secretary Shulkin has talked more about in this Veterans Choice Program to kind of open access to the private health care system to kind of make up for the fact that the VA health system is understaffed, and sometimes there's long wait times and perhaps they're not providing the timely care. But I'm sure there's a lot of stories out there, I know there are, from veterans that we've helped of having to wait a long time, or if they are getting help, it might be, well, here's your medication, come back in 3 months or 6 months to renew your prescription, and that's kind of the extent of it. And these veterans are often suspicious of the VA system. They may be very skeptical because they feel that some of these doctors or counselors or therapists really don't fully appreciate what they've been through. And so it has an effect of kind of turning veterans away. One thing, Richard, that you mentioned earlier was that the VA is adopting a no-wrong-door policy. And that may sound a little bit odd. Why do they need a no-wrong-door policy? Well, basically, it's because there have been cases where, you know, the veteran may not know who to contact, but contact someone in the VA, and they kind of get the brush off, or they're told, well, we're not the right office, In other words, you've come to the wrong door. You need to go find the right door. And we know that, you know, human nature is often that when they meet that resistance, they don't make another effort, because these are veterans that may be in a crisis, and they're just not able really to make that extra step. So, you know, the VA's press release has a lot of good ideas. Like you say, Richard, we'll have to see. But at least they're making an effort. They're making an outreach to kind of expand mental health services for veterans with the local communities. Hopefully that will help. They're going to have, you know, continuing publicity throughout the month of September, but it's a 12-month-a-year issue. So, you know, the VA has provided a number of different websites, and we're going to talk more about that in a few minutes, but it includes, they have a website called, for veterans, called Make the Connection. It's a network of stories of recovery, and that's at maketheconnection.net, maketheconnection.net. Another website is veteranscrisisline.net. That's veteranscrisisline.net. The VA has also kind of taken issue with the fact that media coverage, media reporting of suicides, particularly those when they've involved celebrities, that the VA has taken a position that sometimes the media coverage itself is harmful, and can, in some situations, even kind of promote copycat suicides. So the VA has actually suggested that the media, there's a website, it's called reportingonsuicide.org, for in guidance on ways to communicate on suicide. So there's a lot to this, but the bottom line on a human level, on an individual person level, when you kind of sift out all these ideas and these declarations, is it often comes down to having a buddy, having, and it's for veterans, it's often another veteran. Maybe they served with that veteran, or they know the veteran down from a local vet center or veterans group, but it comes down to that, having a person they know and trust that they can turn to, that when things are getting tough, they make that phone call to get them through it. And certainly there are professionals to help them. So it's not putting all the burden on an untrained professional, but simply having a support system, preferably more than just one buddy, but it's a starting point. That's so important. Richard, your thoughts, and I know you're going to talk more about the Coaching Into Care program and the crisis line. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, David, my heart goes out to these, you know, our clients and veterans in general, especially with the psychological issues, PTSD, and you know, we have women and men that we represent for PTSD as a result of military sexual trauma. And you know, as you were talking, David, you know, I was thinking about some of the craziness that these men and women go through when they're being examined by people at the VA over the military sexual trauma, PTSD, and how they try to, you know, they start off the conversation by trying to say that it was the result of a broken family or alcohol in the family, or maybe even an unwanted touching by another family member, totally ignoring the fact that these men and or women were raped by their superiors while they were serving in our armed services. And just so dismissive, it just really irks me to no end. And it makes me fight harder and harder for you know, our vets when they ask us to represent them, because it quite frankly ticks me off that the people over there at the VA can be so cold. And I know we hear about Shulkin and we're doing this and that, and yes, we got to give them a chance to do all this. But the fact is, and that's why I can't wait for Rick Burns' his documentary fact is, for decades now, we have just ignored so much of the pain that our military personnel have gone through, and the lives they have to lead today as veterans in this country. And that's why, and there's so many of our veterans who are homeless, and they choose to be homeless. Why? Because they just want to step out of society. They can't, they want to ignore the VA. They don't want to go down to St. Pete here in Florida and go for their benefits because they know what they face is open door, you know. You know, it's a load of crap because these guys will tell you there is no open door for them. They get there and they're told they don't have benefits and they're shooed away. It gets me fired up to represent them as zealously as I possibly can and be the kind of advocate that they need. But in the meantime, there's a lot of pain and suffering out there. So again, I urge all our civilians and other veterans who are doing well that when you see a struggling veteran, help them out because they need the help. And, you know, they didn't choose to be put in harm's way. They were put in harm's way. You need to take care of these men and women. Back to you, David.
Well, I think that's great insight, and I think if people were to see what we see on a daily basis helping veterans, and like you said, hopefully the Rick Burns documentary to be released in November will shed even more light because it's for a wider audience and really clue people in as at least one element of the human cost of war, and that's the veterans. But like I say, I'm really looking forward to some of our other shows in September, the end of September, the September 25th show. We're going to be discussing and exploring the costs of war in a much broader context, but also more detailed context, and with the eye that people need to be aware of these things and make sure that policymakers, government officials are thinking along these lines as well. So we're down to the last few minutes of our show.
Let me talk about coaching in the care here.
Okay.
If you are a family member of a veteran who has left the service and is having a tough time transitioning to civilian life, please be aware of the VA's program called Coaching into Care. It helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment and loved ones can help. Coaching into Care offers free coaching to help you help your veterans. Give the program a call. Toll free 1-888. That's 1-888-823-7458. Its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Again, the VA's Coaching into Care number is 1-888-823-7458. In addition, I would like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has a Veterans Crisis Line to help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they didn't get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. It's an important subject, and even though it's a very sobering one to discuss, many veterans come home from war with the invisible injuries of PTSD, depression, anxiety, and traumatic brain injury. The good news is that there has never been a greater awareness of those issues, and the resources available are continually growing. Back to you,
thank you, Richard. Thank you. That's all excellent information. It's been another quick hour this Monday evening. It's time for us to go. We'd like to thank all of you for listening to the Veterans News Hour. We'd like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom. And we hope to have you back on listen to our show next week. So please tune in next week, same time, same station. Until then, have a great week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.